For Sefer Shmos, which introduces Moshe Rabbeinu for the first time, there's a great controversy about Moshe Rabbeinu himself. And that's what we want to study today. We're going to begin with the Tiferes Yisrael at the end of Masechta Kiddushin. And that's the first source of your page.
It's not very clear.
It's not very clear. So I'll try to read it for you, and you'll try to follow me the best you can.
Right.
Okay. The Agadita towards the end of Masechta Kiddushin speaks about Rofim, about physicians, right? And there is what's called a Rofe Mumche, and he's an outstanding physician with a great deal of expertise. And in that case, we have a lot of words of shevach, of praise for the Rofe, because he's applying his knowledge to save human life. And he's very experienced. He's a person who has undergone all the training necessary in order for him to serve the community as a rofe. That's the background to this discussion. Now, and by the way, Rabosa, if you like, you can staple those pages if it's meaningful for you. That's up to you.
There's a stapler here.
Yeah, there's a stapler there. Okay, then. Now, in the context of this discussion of a person who improves himself and he raises his level to being what's called a Rofe Mumche, the Tiferes Yisrael addresses the question of Moshe Rabbeinu. Not that Moshe Rabbeinu was necessarily a Rofe in the classical sense, we don't know that, but what was Moshe Rabbeinu's beginnings? What were his beginnings? Did he have humble beginnings? Or was he already born, as we might say, with a silver spoon in his mouth? You know, he was already perfect from birth. And the Tiferes Yisrael, which is the super commentary on Mishnayos, tells the following story. He says that at a certain point in history, when the nations of the world heard about Moshe Rabbeinu's great leadership and how he took the people out of Mitzrayim and what he did for the Jewish people, he says that one of the kings of the neighboring areas, he doesn't tell you who he was, but he was very curious about this person, Moshe Rabbeinu, that he heard so much about. And what he decided to do was to send an expert portrait painter, are you familiar with this? To come to Moshe Rabbeinu, take a look at his face, study it, and then put it on a canvas, and to paint a picture of him. And the Yochanan Boaz says, Vayisa eno vayaris es Moshe isha lukim mirachok. This painter who was sent on the shlichus sees Moshe Rabbeinu, the man of God, from a distance. Vayamayer vayikach es hatziur mitoch chetzno. He takes out his various utensils. Vayabet vehine kitmunasu kitzalmo tziro betzior. And exactly as he saw Moshe, and they didn't have photography in those days, he paints the painting. Kolea el hasa'ara. In other words, he gets even the hairs on Moshe Rabbeinu's head. He's very precise about it. And lo yechta, he doesn't fall short of doing the best job that he can. Vayofeg libo, and he was very emotionally involved. Vayipole, vayitmad ma'od, vayelech, vayov biatzmo ol ishalakim, etc., etc. And the Yochanan Boaz tells us, and it's all based on some sort of a letter that was written, that when the Tzayar, this great portrait painter, brought back this painting, so he gathered together all the experts in the field of physiognomy, which is a study of the countenance of a person, his facial features. He brought together all the chachamim and forsamim and bekiyim mi'od b'chochmas hasfiziognia, all the great scholars, the ein dugmasim, there's no one on the face of the earth who was on their level, all the greats were there. The ata now achreira oso kitmunoscho mechuvenes alatzira sharhevi atzayor. And then, what do they say? They describe the person who appears in the picture. And what do they describe him? He's a terrible person. Could you imagine that? They're looking at a picture of Moshe Rabbeinu, I guess the equivalent of a photographer, of a photograph, and they're saying that naturally, if we look at his facial features, he's very evil. Again, we're going to discuss exactly what that means. He's very evil in a few minutes. And when the king hears this, and here the Tzayar had described Moshe Rabbeinu as an Ish Elokim, and all the stories that were known about the leadership of Moshe Rabbeinu, he didn't know what to do. So the Chachamim there said to the king, you know, you got to blame the Tzayar. Apparently the Tzayar is at fault. And the Tzayar denies it, and he says, no, I did the best job I possibly could. That's an accurate portrait of Moshe, of the Jewish leader. So what does the king decide to do? He decides that he himself is going to personally show up to see Moshe Rabbeinu and to see if this picture is accurate. And again, it's a long discussion. I don't know how much you can read. I'm just going to highlight a few points here. He says that he gets to Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe says that the Tzayar did exactly what he was supposed to do, and there was no falsification. He says that Moshe Rabbeinu responded to the king that lulei hayisi b'teva, if I would be what I am by nature, kefisha shamata, as you've heard, lo tov anochi, I'm not inherently good. And he goes on to say that all the chesronos, all the deficiencies of man, I suffer from. But he says that I worked very hard, and this is Yakar Viene Elokim Viadam, and Loe Vosh Lomar, Ki Kol Chesronos Eshel Shaftu Alay Chachmascha, Kulam Kshurim Bi B'teva, all these deficiencies that you have attributed to me based on my natural form and my shape, they're all true. The Efshar Od Yoser, he says, maybe they're even worse than Shaftu HaChachamim. V'ani b'koch amitz, but I used my powerful force, my spiritual energies, v'tchazakti, and I became very strong. V'radisi v'kafashti osam, I was able to be roda, meaning to control the natural tendencies and subjugate them. Adesha kanisi li hafucham l'teva sheni, until finally I achieved the exact opposite, a different nature. V'lachenu b'avur ze yikarasi v'schabarati, etc., etc. And he says that this is the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu. And he goes on to say, getting back to his discussion about Rofim, that they are able to achieve this goal, even though maybe in nature they have a natural tendency for Shvichus Damim and so forth and so on. Now, what I wanted to show you here is that there's a sefer that was written about 100 years ago by Rav Tzvi Hirsch Friedman, and it's called the Pri Tvua, and on Parshas Tetzaveh, it is commentary on Shemen Zayis Zach, which means that we are commanded to take olives and press them and extract from the olives an oil which is pure, and that has to be brought to the Mishkan for the sake of the mitzvah of lighting the candles. He tells you to look at the Tiferes Yisrael, which is what we did, and get an impression of the Chachmei Ha'umos, of how the wise people of the nations of the world are of the opinion Sha'adam Kona Li'atzmo Hashlemus, that a person can achieve perfection if he works hard, Al Yidei Shemasig Hamuskolos, which means through intellectual training and hard work to finally understand what a man should be ethically and so forth and so on, and make the right decisions in life and alter his natural tendency for misbehavior to behave properly. But what the Chachmei Umas Olam can't understand is Hechi Tochen Shal Yidei HaMitzvahs, when a person does any of the 613 mitzvahs, Shenasim Al Yidei Dvarim Gashmiim, where he's doing a physical act, Yikne Ha'adam Shleimus L'Nafsho, is that going to have an impact on a person's soul and help him achieve perfection of the soul? That's what the Chachmei Ha'umos understood. So on the one hand, they understood that man is born with certain natural imperfections, but through an intellectual process he can climb the ethical ladder and improve himself. But they didn't understand how the action of a mitzvah, which is a physical action in this world, why would that have any impact on the shlemus, on the perfection of a person? So comes along Rav Friedman, he says, "Emes." But the truth is, ki adam yochel liknos liatzmo shlemus al yidei she'osa ritzono yisbar. When man fulfills the will of God, he's able to achieve shlemus, to perfect himself through the mitzvahs of the Torah. And mahapech dvarim gashmiim l'ruchniim, he could take something physical and transform it to something spiritual. V'zehu ikar ma'aloso shel Yisrael, that's the greatness of the Jewish people. And v'lachein nikru Adam, we find the Chazal say that the word Adam is a specific reference to the nation of Israel. And what is Adam? Minasa mi'adam, he comes from the physicality of the ground, of the earth. Migush ofer Adama, and he goes Elyon, he becomes something high. V'shamati b'shem ha'medrash. Now this is interesting, because the impression you get from the Tiferes Yisrael is that we're not dealing with a Medrash here and describing the painter who made a painting of Moshe. We were just talking about a letter that he received from one of the Chachmei Ha'umos. But here he says in the name of a Medrash, okay, Isa, it says over there, the Medrash, Tzir Tzuras Moshe Rabbeinu Levashom Lufnei HaMelech, that this particular artist brought a portrayal of Moshe Rabbeinu in front of the king, Ratzah Melech Lahargo, and the Melech was so angry at him, and he said, "You must have violated my will. You didn't fulfill my will by making an accurate picture of Moshe Rabbeinu. Shahayat Zurasu Mara Almidos Gruos, because the painting itself, which was studied, as we said before, by the Chachmei HaPhysiognoma, and they determined that this person in the picture has really bad traits, character traits. The Heshivlo Shebeemes Zeu Gufa Haisa Amala Shel Moshe Rabbeinu. But the answer to the claim against the artist is that he took an accurate portrayal of Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu in his natural form is not good, but Yafo Chara L'Tov, he had the ability to transform evil to good. V'lachein gam mi'inyonei hagashmiim, even in the physical world, kishenasa mitzvosim yisbach, when we do the mitzvos, hu ikar ha-shlemus, that's how we achieve shlemus. Now why does Rav Tzvi Hirsch Friedman quote this whole medrash and this whole story about Moshe Rabbeinu here in Parshas Tetzaveh, in the mitzvah of lighting the candelabra? He says, zeu gam kein shemen zayis, because Chazal say about the olives, I don't know if anybody here in this room has a custom to pour something over the olives before you eat it. Nobody. Oh, okay. My wife is very makpid on that. The reason for that is because Chazal say that a zayis is kosher l'shichacha, that olives can cause you to forget your Torah. So matzinu shazayis goreim shichacha v'ashemen. Chazal say that the oil of olives goreim zikara, it improves the memory. Hamenorah romes ala Torah v'mitzvah l'chein omel Hashem yisparach hatot etzaveh. We're on the top left if you're following us, Bnei Yisrael. V'yikwe lecha, hainu, gam, sha'ata, elecha. Why the word elecha? The word elecha, at the beginning of Parashat Tetzaveh, is totally superfluous, unnecessary. Take out the word elecha, and the pasuk doesn't lose an ounce of its meaning. So the answer is, elecha means kamo sha'ata. This Shemen Zayis really belongs to you, Moshe Rabbeinu, because it reflects your essence, your achievement. Kimosha Ata, just like you hafachta mi ra l'tov, Gam Shemen Zayis also takes the Zayis, which is Kashal Shichacha, and converts into something which is great for Zikara, the Shemen Zayis. Lahalos ner tovit. And we're going to use the Shemen Zayis symbolically to represent that great achievement whenever we light it in the menorah. L'ash'aras ha'nefesh. And we're going to prove to the Umos Ha'olam that they're mistaken. And they think that, you know, it's an intellectual process and so forth and so on. No, it has to do with doing the will of Hashem and fulfilling His mitzvahs. Now, Rabosai, I have to tell you this. The Medrash that Rav Tzvi Hirsch Friedman refers to doesn't exist.
It doesn't exist.
There's no such Medrash. He bases himself on the Tiferes Yisrael, which we saw at the end of Masechta Kedushin, but the Tiferes Yisrael doesn't quote a Medrash. It quotes a letter that he got from the Chachmei Umas Ha'olam. And the question is whether that letter is reliable or not. So about 150 years ago, maybe a little bit longer, there was a Rav in the city of Mir. Everybody here has heard of Mir. Mir was a major Torah center back in Lithuania.
Yeah.
And the Rav in that area in Mir, his name is Rav Chaim Yitzchak Aaron, his last name was Aaron, he himself wrote an entire work which is called the Kleel Tiferes. He's going to tell us in his introduction why he calls it Kleel Tiferes, to try to prove that this letter doesn't exist and it's all a falsification of the truth. Mm-hmm. And I found this fascinating because I never got a chance to study this. In Hebrew it's called a pulmus. Pulmus means an exciting controversy. You know, some of the famous pulmusim in history, like about Shabtai Tzvi in his time, and about Hasidus versus Misnagdim, these are all famous controversies. About the Rambam, you know, who wrote the Mor Nevuchim, was a tremendous controversy. I don't know if you know this. You know, the Rambam's works were burnt publicly by Rabbeinu Yonah. So there was a tremendous controversy that was generated by this paragraph that we saw in the Tiferes Yisrael, the story that he tells based on a letter from the Chachmei Umas Ha'olam. And this Reb Chaim Yitzchak Aaron wrote a kutras. A kutras means a special treatise dedicated to disproving this thesis. And what we're going to do is read different parts of his kutras, and we're going to splice in some of the psukim that he quotes and the Mamore Chazal, especially from the Zohar, about Moshe Rabbeinu's birth. I'm just going to take a break and make a bracha here. Bracha Tohadi Noi Lein Mechlam Shakol Nia B'dvaro. He says, B'kutras Hazeh, why did I write, what motivated me to write this treatise, L'hoyer, to point out to everyone, every Jew has to know, Mashaheida HaTorah Kedosh al Moshe Rabbeinu Olav Hashalom. What did the Torah testify about Moshe Rabbeinu? Shehayami told Dosso that from his very birth, Kol, he was an embodiment of Kol Tov, of everything that's good. Right, and if you take a look at number 4, which is the last source on your page, Vatara Isha Vatelik Ben, this is Yocheved who's married to Amram, Vatera also, after she gave birth, she saw the baby Kitovu, and he's good. And getting back to the Kliel Tiferes, Ikar Mahus HaTov Shezocha. And what is the nature of this word Tov that describes Moshe Rabbeinu at birth, baby Moshe? Pirshulan Rabboseinu Chachmei HaTalmud HaKadosh VaZohar HaKadosh VaKabbalosom Shezocha Mitoldoso Shelo Zozo Ruach HaKadosh Mimenu.
Tomid.
That from the time of his birth, Ruach HaKodesh never left Moshe Rabbeinu. V'ashchino isa imo, he was always together with the Shechina. And I want to prove with this kudrus, kama milos, the great levels of Kodesh, of sanctity, shezocha, that Moshe Rabbeinu achieved, tekef mitoldoso v'ad sofo, from his birth till his death, v'keno yimakubo b'chol Yisrael midor dar. And this was accepted in all generations. V'zemi karv kechamishim shana, just about 50 years ago, he says. So we're going back now about probably about 250, 300 years ago. Nimto liechad migdolei adar, one of the great giants of that generation. Notice that he's not putting down the Tiferes Yisrael. Like, he's not saying we have to burn the book. He's not saying that. But hetik b'chibura b'sof, Seder Noshim, at the end of Seder Noshim, he copied over Michtav Echad, some letter, Shematza, which he found, Velonoda Klau Miksavo. If the Tiferes Yisrael knew who wrote that letter, he certainly didn't share that information with us. The impression you get, he says, is that even the Tiferes Yisrael himself was unaware of the authorship of that letter. And that letter testifies about Moshe Rabbeinu Shehoya Mitivo, that by his very nature he was Ra Ma'alolim. Again, I can't translate every word here because it's I think it's almost prohibited to say this. He was Gaiva, he had Chemdas HaMomon, and it goes on and on and on. I skipped that part of the letter. Ubechol Chesrona Shema'olim, he was deficient in every moral dimension. There's also a piece there about women and so forth. I'm not going to go into that. V'hine akosev hanizkar, he says that the Tiferes Yisrael who wrote this account of that letter, also b'zeshtei ros gedolos, he did two terrible things. Again, he calls him, keep in mind, he calls him the Gadol Hador, but he says he did two terrible things. Ha'achas, number one, heyed hefech edus ha'tor shebichsav v'al peh. Everything he says in that letter is in direct contradiction to everything we know from both the written Torah and the oral tradition. V'sheinis, not only that, but biza v'chireif as kedosh Hashem, kedosh Yisrael. It is a bizoyan humiliation and a chiruf. Chiruf is kind of like when you... Doc, can you help me out here? You learned the sugya Magadev in Sanhedrin. How do you translate a Magadev? Blasphemy. Oh, excellent. This is blasphemy against Moshe Rabbeinu, who's the holy Moshe Rabbeinu, the Kodesh Hashem. And therefore, Hiskimu Gaone Dorenu, he says, I've achieved a general agreement amongst all the giants of my generation, which is again 50 years after the Tiferes Yisrael, Shamichtav HaNizkar, that letter, Netak Me'eze Kranik. Now, I'm not a bucky in Polish or in Yiddish, but I think Kranik means somebody who's chronically diseased. He's a cuckoo, I guess you might say. That's why we don't know who wrote this letter. They didn't want to tell us who wrote this letter, because then we would know it's somebody who has to be locked up in an insane asylum. Well, Azos Nisorarnu, he's talking about himself in the royal we, Lechaber Kutshazah, was motivated to write and pen this presentation, Asher Bo Birarnu, we will clarify, Shah Michtav HaNizkar, that this letter that we mentioned, Kulo Mizuyov, it's a forgery, Sheker Mukhlad, it's a fabrication, V'gam Minus Nisru Kabbalah. It borders on heresy, actual heresy. V'zachisi, and I was zoche to protect Kiddushas, Moshe Rabbeinu Levashalom Yagin, Lechol, and that Moshe Rabbeinu in turn and his Kiddushas should protect us, Misha Yikne Lechvodo, because I have a Kanos, Kanos means I'm zealous for the respect and the awe that we have to have for Moshe Rabbeinu, Ubischuso, Nizkel, Legu'ula, Krovo, Amen, Ken Yehi Rotzah. Now, a contemporary of Reb Chaim Yitzchak, which you'll see on the second side of your page. His name was Rebbe Leo David Ta'omim. He's from the famous Rabinowitz Ta'omim family. They were scribes and giants in Torah for many centuries, including, if you heard, I quote very often in my other shiurim, not in this shiur of Chumash, but the Prima Gadim. They were all from the same family, and it goes on and on, even in our day. And he writes a letter of approbation to Reb Chaim Yitzchak Aaron, giving him all the support that he needs and encouraging him to publish this kuntros. Apparently it was published in two different editions. The original edition, they didn't make enough copies, and then there was a demand to reprint it with a couple of corrections and updates, and they made many, many copies of this kuntros. And he calls him Yedidi Ahuvi. He calls him Talmud B'Marshe Levavi. In other words, his Torah study, his Limud, is something that he inherited, and it penetrates into his heart. He's a gaon. He's a genius. He's Teferes HaDarshanim, from the outstanding Darshanim, Shalshalas HaYuchsin. And he comes from a long lineage of greats in his family lineage. That's how he addresses him. And he says that he has lit up our eyes. And my eyes were lit up when I saw what he produced here. And he says, lit his fire to glorify. Because again, the name of the Sefer is called the Klilas, the Kolil Teferis, the Klilas Yofi. The Kolil Teferis means the Teferis of Moshe Rabbeinu, the glory of Moshe Rabbeinu. And he says that he's very happy to find out that he's publishing this. I was very happy to find out from him that he's publishing this kuntros, and he says, because of his anava, his humility, he has asked me to please write a letter of recommendation and to express my opinion about this whole issue here, and to undermine that which was printed by the Teferis Yisrael about some sort of a letter describing Moshe Rabbeinu, Bechir HaBechirim, the choice of the choice. That's Moshe Rabbeinu. And I found that I was very happy, he says, this is Rav Elia David, to find a support for the position of Rav Chaim Yitzchak Aaron, which Rav Chaim Yitzchak Aaron himself was unaware of in his kuntros. And this sort of calms his soul down. It soothes his soul, because Nitzta'arti mi'od, I was very upset when I read this to Teferis Yisrael. And kama pa'amim ga'arti b'amadabra mizeh. There are other people who say over this to Teferis Yisrael, and they think it's like a piece of Torah that they have to transmit because it tells you something about Moshe Rabbeinu. He says, v'amarti b'kol, and I said publicly, ki b'mechilas kvod ha'gon Teferis Teferis Yisrael, with all due respect for the Teferis Yisrael, lo yafa asa, he didn't do the right thing by copying and printing divrei asok. Asok means words of slander. Al tzadiko shel olam, on the greatest tzaddik of the world. And he says, where did the Teferis Yisrael, base himself on? Misifrei Amlois, based on the writings of a foreign nation, Ovdei Kochavim Kadmonim. He says that this letter comes from idol worshippers. How does he know that? I don't know. Asher Chazal Omru Aleihem, and the Pasuk says about them, Asher PM Diber Shav. Whatever they tell you, it's all lies. V'ata Kibo divrei kudrus yedidi, etc., etc. Nasati simcha belivi. I was very excited when I saw a copy of the draft copy. What do they call it? The galleys of this kudrus, of this publication. Viadaiti ladpiso, and he decided that he's going to write it and publish it. I was very happy about that because he collected Mamore Chazal Hakdoshim Vamitiim. He has anthologized all the words of Chazal, the holy words of our rabbis, and the true words of our rabbis against this Divrei Bela Lashov, and against the words of incitement and fabrication that undermine our understanding of Moshe Rabbeinu as he was born in his natural state. And therefore I will tell you now that I found a Gemara that supports the position of Rav Chaim Yitzchak Aram. Now this Gemara is in Megillah Daf Yud Aleph. He quotes only the beginning of it. If you take a look at number 6 on the bottom right, the Gemara makes a very sharp analysis of Psukim all over Sefer Shmos in terms of the order or the sequence of Moshe and Aaron. And as it turns out, after doing this research, Chazal tells us in the Gemara Megillah that there's no absolute. Most of the time, Moshe Rabbeinu appears before Aaron, Moshe the Aaron, but in one pasuk it says, Aaron u Moshe, Aaron comes first. And the Gemara applies the pasuk of Shalom, Shalom, la rochok v'la korov. And the Gemara says the following, that Moshe and Aaron are equal from the get-go. They were both born equal, shaveh. And then, after quoting this very strong proof that Moshe and Aaron were both equal, he says that there are two categories of good people, of good Jews, the greatest Jews. And this is codified by the Gemara in Brachos on Daf Lamed Ches Amid Beis. The Gemara says, there's one Jew that's called a Tzaddik Meikara. From the get-go, he was always a Tzaddik. He never failed, and he was never deficient. And the other person is called a Baal Tshuva Shehisgaber Al Yitzro, that he overcame all his evil inclinations. Mi Adif, the Gemara wants to know who's greater. Is it the Tzadik Gamur or is it the Baal Tshuva? And the Gemara quotes two opinions about this question. And according to one opinion, the Tzadik Gomer, who never sinned, is greater than the Baal Tshuva. According to the other opinion, Adarava, the Baal Tshuva is greater, but Mokum Sheh Baal Tshuva Omdim, because they had the temptation, and yet they got back on their feet, and they perfected themselves. And he says the following, that Moshe Rabbeinu Olav HaShalom, Lo Matzidu Bo Shum Avel, we don't find any evil in Moshe Rabbeinu whatsoever, called Klal Uklal. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu is certainly a Tzadik Gomor. And in such a case, like Moshe Rabbeinu, Einu Shayach Lesug HaZeh Lomar Olav Bal Tshuva Odif O Tzadik Gomor Odif. He says that you can have a debate and two opinions, who's greater, the Tzadik or the Bal Tshuva. But he says, regarding Moshe Rabbeinu, even the one who usually puts the Baal Tshuva on the higher level would agree that Moshe Rabbeinu is on the highest level. It means that a Tzadik Gomor also has some sort of a difficulty, or shall we say challenges, and Moshe Rabbeinu is on a whole different level, qualitatively different. And he says, if you want to get into the whole issue, is who's greater, someone who overcomes his Yetzahara, or someone who is born good, and he's a chassid mitchiloso, he says, you should take a look in the Shmona Prakim of the Rambam. The Rambam wrote an entire treatise on the ethics of Judaism, in which he dedicates an entire chapter to the question, who's greater, the Kovish is Yitzchak. Now, there's a brisa increases in the fourth parak, which you'll see on the bottom right. And the Brisa says the following. Rabbi Shimon Omer, B'chol makom hikdim bria shamayim la'aretz. B'makom echad Omer, ki b'yom asos Hashem Elokim eretz v'shamayim. So even though spirituality and the divine worlds of shamayim are superior to the physical worlds, nevertheless in one pasuk, it says, Eretz first, Molamit Sheshkulim Zekozeh. B'chol makom hikdim Avram li avos. But b'makom echidu omer v'zachati espisi Yaakov espisi Yitzchok v'af espisi Avram. Melamed sheshkulim zekozeh shloshtam. That all three of us are equal. B'chol makom hikdim Moshe li Aaron. But b'makom echidu omer hu Aaron u'Moshe. Shmos perkei. Aaron comes first, the Moshe is mentioned second. Melamed is teaches us sheshkulim zekozeh. The Brisa goes on and applies this logic to Yoshua and Kalev. Fascinating that even Kalev is equal to Yoshua. So now we get to the second part of Rav Elia David Ta'omim's Hakdama here. And he says that that's what he wants to add here to everything that's in the Kuntres. Number one, the Gemara Megillah, that who Moshe v'Aaron heim b'tzikosam mitchilosam v'ad sofam. The Gemara Megillah, if you're careful about it, says mitchilosam v'ad sofam, that both Moshe and Aaron are great from the beginning until the end. And not only that, the Tosefta says that Moshe and Aaron are shkulim. And he says we know for sure that Aaron was great mitchilosam v'ad sofam. Aaron, even in his youth, was such a great leader of Klal Yisrael, and he saved Klal Yisrael. And Moshe Rabbeinu is now being equated to Aaron mitchilaso v'ad sofo muchach shelo kidivrei hamalizim, and this itself is proof against those who are motzi shemra with amloes, and they say terrible things about Moshe Rabbeinu shoy mitevo ra v'kofas yitzro. Right, the hatev masav, that he improved himself. In Kenein shkulim zelazet. You can't say that Moshe is equal to Aaron. Mimanashach, he says, if a Baal Tshuva is greater, then Moshe Rabbeinu is greater. And if a Tzadik Gomer is greater, then certainly Aaron is greater. And if Shnei Dvarim Shavim, Baal Tshuva v'Tzadik Gomer, if you want to say that Baal Tshuva and Tzadik Gomer are equal, Gam Keni Efshar, Doha, Mefurish, Mimash Kosuv, who? Shekach Hoyu Mitchilosu V'Ad Sofa. Right, the pasuk that they're dashing is who Aaron and Moshe. The word who is Bahava Yaso, meaning from his beginning, from the onset. So from his creation, from the time he's born, Moshe Rabbeinu is great. So you can't say that Moshe Rabbeinu is a Baal Tshuva, because it says Mitchilosu Yad Sofu Shneim Shavim. In Cain, he says Kiteva Aaron Kach Teva Moshe. Just like Aaron has a Teva, he's born as the great lover of Israel, etc., etc., so to Moshe is great from the beginning. Vare Aaron lo dibra osam motzei diba kamo al Moshe. Even those who were motzei diba on Moshe, maybe they agree that Aaron was great from his inception. And therefore, he says in the last paragraph, there's no doubt that all these words from this so-called letter are bidusa ninu. They're all fabricated. And he says, Lefi b'kiyusa, according to everything I know, v'zichroni, everything I remember, lo nimtza shum zecha v'remez v'remizim. There's not even allusion of an allusion, a hint of a hint, b'divrei rabboseinu akdoshim zal, that there's any flaw in Moshe Rabbeinu from the time he's born, v'chalila v'chalila lahamin ba'diba azu. Heaven forbid to even believe such a thing. L'charef, it is an insult and blasphemous to Marochos, to Pharisee Yisrael. And it's interesting, here he uses a pun. He says this is an insult to the entire glory of Israel, but he uses the word to Pharisee Yisrael. That's the name of the author of the work that they're criticizing. He says, Yishtaka Dover, please forget about it. Lo Ye'omer, it should never be said. V'yigalgil schus ha'yidei Zakai. And Hashem brought about a schus through this Zakai, through this Reb Chaim Yitzchak Aaron. Hashem Yarech Yomav, he should be zochet to Langi Yoren, as we say, Ushnosav, and he should be zochet Mirtz Hashem that he should see the Nechama, Sion v'Yushalayim, the Meir of Yomenu, etc., etc. And then he signs it, Eliyahu David Rabinovich Ta'omim, and Toch Ami Anochi Yoshavis. Now this is with number 9. We're up to number 9. Okay, but going back to the Kliel Tiferes, right? That's the work that we want to study from Rav Aharon, and he says that he found this terrible thing, this michtav, this letter that's being quoted in the Tiferes Yisrael that describes the bad characteristic traits of Moshe, Ra, Me'alolim, the Gaiva, Bechemdes Momen, Bechirus Halei, Bechol, Chisronu Sheba'ola, his Shigu Nefesh Adam Amayla. He says that just causing us to make big mistakes here about someone who's an Adam Amayla, who's the greatest man that we have. And he says that we should know, and you should know, and I'm going to prove it to you, that the Torah and all the Chachmei HaTalmud and the Zohar HaKadosh, they all testify about Moshe Rabbeinu's greatness, that he was Kodesh Kadoshim mitoldoso v'yatsofa, from his birth. And that's why I'm writing this kunshus to prove this, to illustrate this. U'bevadei godol onsho shel oso kosev ha-michtav ha-na'al. And for sure, the person who wrote the letter is going to suffer tremendous punishments. And he doesn't assume, as we saw in Rav Eliyahu David, that the writer, the author of the letter, was an idol worshiper. And it's almost as if he's hinting that there's going to be a punishment to Chas Shalom, to Tiferes Yisrael himself, for publishing such a letter. Lachain ra'isi mikfar lechaver kunches katan levar ziyufo shaloso ha-michtav. I want to prove how much of a forgery this letter is. And the reason I'm doing so and going so public about it is because this michtav, this letter, this pashi b'chol ha'olam, became famous in the world. My kunches only reached out to a small number of people. Zos chazarnu, we went over it, ka'es lahadpis od, to reprint it, and we're going to make certain corrections in order to ulafazram ba'olam, and then to circulate it all over the world. And we're asking that everyone who learns Mishnayos of the Tiferes Yisrael, Yekabel, he should accept this kuntres, V'yadvik es somach l'michtav ha-mezuyef hazeh, V'usei so sein k'deshiyeh kashim v'shovro imo. He asks that we take his kuntres, or maybe he means one page of it, I don't know, and attach it, you know, with, what do they call it, sticky glue, you know what I'm talking about? And attach it to the Tiferes Yisrael. Maybe he means we should cover the Tiferes Yisrael with his kuntres, I don't know. He's got mitzvah l'tashtei sham michtav b'dyo. He says you should take black ink and go over the michtav. Again, I have a photocopy, so obviously they didn't do that in my copy of the Mishnayos, which is right here behind this wall. Kedesh tisparsem shu mezuyof legamri, so it becomes famous that this is a forgery. We got minus nisgubo, and there is blasphemy in this letter. And he goes on to say that why does he call the name of this kuntres that he's authoring, the name of this essay, why does he call it Kliel Tiferes? And he answers that he got this phrase when he read the Anshe Knesset HaGdola, when they formulated in the Musaf service of Shabbos, the Nusach. No, it's Shachris or Musaf, I forget. Yismach Moshe Matnas Chelko, Kliel Tiferes Nasatolo. Okay, I don't remember. Is it Shachris or Musaf? I get sometimes confused. Anybody have a...
Sounds like Nusach. Smart man. We say Yismach Moshe Matnas Chelko, Kliel Neman Karatolo.
Yeah, but then afterwards it says Kliel Tiferes Nasatol.
Oh,
yeah, do me a favor, Gershon. If you could be my shliach here, just because I want to move on here. We have another two pages. I want to just see if we could finish them. He says that Moshe Rabbeinu is called the Kliel Tiferes. And therefore, I'm going to use that phrase to describe this work, and this is going to be the title of the work. He goes on to hope that he fits into the pattern of what it says in the Medrash in Rus, that Boaz also said shalom, Boaz also did whatever he could do, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu did whatever he had to do, and from that relationship between Boaz and Rus we get to Mashiach, Nami also saw shalom. Yeah, this is Shachris. Okay, good. I got a little confused because at first I thought it was Musaf. Right? Kliel Tiferes Rosh Onasatolo. I think the Pachad Yitzchak has a whole piece on Kliel Tiferes. In any event, here we see that Moshe Rabbeinu is called Kliel Tiferes. Anyway, in the Medrash in Rus, it says, Naomi did whatever she could, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'll do whatever I can. And V'chein Anachnu, it means that we learn from this Medrash that every person has to do whatever he can, Lefi Miut Kochav, even if his powers are limited, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yigmar, and God will finish the job, and God will see to it that we give kavod l'avi ha'neviim, the father of all our prophets, v'vada yischaro b'shnei olam. Certainly he'll be rewarded in the two worlds. So now we're up to page 3. And this is a continuation of the Kliel Tiferes. And he writes, Shamati me'ez ha'noshim she'nimtza shorish l'maisa ha'zeh b'shitim kubetzes. He says that there's a rumor that's circulating that this story of this Michtav is quoted in the Shita Mekubetzes. Now the Shita Mekubetzes lived 5 centuries ago in Egypt, in Cairo. His name is Rabbi Tzal Ashkenazi. He's considered almost like a Rishon. He's in that twilight zone between the Rishonim and the Achronim. And he says, take a look at the Shita Mekubetzes, and it's a falsification again of the truth. The Shita Mekubetzes does not quote such a letter. And the Shita Mekubetzes is completely taken out of context. But anyway, we're not going to go into that right now. He goes on to say, this is number 11. Levar shatorah heidal godol kedushas Moshe Rabbeinu mitoldoso. I am writing this to prove that the Torah itself testifies about the great sanctity of Moshe Rabbeinu from the time he was born until the time he died. Shekein Pershu Chachmei HaTalmud. And he says it's not only in the Talmud that interprets Torah Seinu HaKadosh, but also in the Zohar HaKadosh. It's also the Medrash Rab and the Pirkei Reb Elozar. So he's quoting a whole array of sources to prove that Moshe was great from his birth. The most important source of all is the Gemara in Sota on Daf Yud Beis. The Gemara says that when Basio Basparo opens up the, how do you say, the teva, the ark? No.
The cradle.
The cradle. She opens up the cradle, and the pasuk says, Vatera oso kitovu. And she sees that he is good. All right, we're talking about the baby, little baby Moshe Rabbeinu. Tanya Rabbi Mary Omer. Just 1 second. Did I say Basparo? I think I'm making a mistake here. My mistake. Sorry. This is the pasuk in Shmos Beis, pasuk Beis. If you have the Chumash, you can open up to it. And it says Vatara Isha Vatelet Bein. So we're talking about Yocheved. Vatera Oso Kitovu. And she sees the baby Kitovu. Tanya. By the way, I think you would agree with me that in most cases, when they bring the baby to the mother after birth, it's not always so beautiful. You know, sometimes you look at a baby and you think, oh, but years later, or not even years later, even a month later or 2 months later, you see how beautiful the baby is. But in this case, she saw the baby Kitovu. So Rabbi Meir Omer Tov Shmo, that this baby was named Tov, or Tuvia, from its birth. I know it sounds like HaKadosh Baruch Hu Baruch HaKadosh gave them that name of Tuvia from Lashon Tov. And then the other by the Omer of Nechemi Omer Hagun Linevius. She saw that he was suitable for prophecy. Acherim Om Noldat Shehu Mol. He was born, he was already circumcised. He didn't have an arlo. Chachomim omrim b'shoshenolad Moshe nismale avayis kulo ar. That when Moshe Rabbeinu was born, the entire house lit up with a supernal spiritual light. And how do we know this? Because with regard to the original creation of light, it says vayal kimis ar kitov, and here also it says vater also kitov. That just like that original light, if you remember Chazal described, it was so amazing and so infinite that God had to eventually conceal it and hide and designate it for Liosid Lovo for the future and the end of days. But in any event, every single opinion here about the Pasuk Kitov indicates that already from birth, Moshe Rabbeinu was great. He was already influencing his surroundings by lighting up the entire building, the entire house. And Vatiftach Vatereu es Hayeled. Now we're referring to Basia Bas Paro. Again, I don't, you have the Chumash there? It should be a few psukim later after they...
Yes.
they put her into Tevas Goma. What pasuk is it? I'll just make a note of it, so I'll have it. It should say Vatiftach Vatireus Hayelet.
That's okay.
Oh, pasuk
hey.
Okay, excellent. That's pasuk hey. And the pasuk that we had before was pasuk bay. So it's three psukim later. She Basparo opens the teva, and she sees the child Chada Miboyle Amar Rabbi Amar. What did she see? It says she saw the child. What did she see? Amar Rabbi Yosi Rav Chanina Sherasa Shechina Imo. Basia Basparo saw that the Shechina was with this baby, with Moshe Rabbeinu. The Zohar HaKadosh says something mind-boggling. On the pasuk Vayelech Ish Mibeis Levi, I think that's the beginning of that parasha of Beis. Am I right? It's pasuk Aleph? Just guessing. I should have brought a chumash, but I didn't.
Vayelech Ish Mibeis Levi, yes.
Pasuk Aleph.
Perek Beit pasuk Aleph.
Perek Beit pasuk Aleph. So it says that Amram was the person Mibeis Levi, Vayikach Es Bas Levi. So the Zohar says that there are whole drushes here. What does it mean that he went to Bas Levi, meaning to Yocheved? He says that the Bas here is an allusion to a Baskol. It means that there was a divine intervention here, Las Duvuge Ba, that brought Amram to have a relationship, an intimacy with his wife Yocheved. Why? Because the Baskol said, Karev Zmana de Purkan of Yisrael. We're close to the moment, the hour of redemption of Israel. And therefore, I want you to have a relationship with your wife that will bring a redeemer into the world. Because it's time for the redemption. And God helped him to have this relationship. You know, it was very tough. It was during the epitome of the Shibud Mitzrayim. And then the Zohar goes on to say, Shchinta Shariye Al Arusayhu. You know, as soon as Moshe Rabbeinu was born and he was put into a cradle, the Shechina was shorer on the cradle. And at this point, the parents knew that this is something supernatural that's going on over here. And that Moshe Rabbeinu is the Kadosh, he's the future Navi, the future Redeemer of Israel. And that's when they put Moshe Rabbeinu into a Tevas Goma. Now, when you think about it, I'll just take a break for a moment. What were the chances that they would save Moshe by putting him into a little bit of a cradle? A goma, I think, is, I don't know, we don't have an art scroll here. I think it means rubber or something. Very cheap kind of substance. It wasn't even a wooden cradle. And roll him down the Nile River. You know, like, what's going on over here? If they would ask me, I would say that's the worst idea. Maybe try to dig, you know, during the Holocaust, you know, they tried to dig underground. I don't know, but the answer is they already knew that this was part of a divine plan. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't just born like another child was born. And Rabbi Eliezer over there, that's the number 14, Zocha Amram Shiyotze Menu Ben Shizocha L'Kol Godol Tehsiv Elokim Yanenu B'Kol. That Amram was able to merit giving birth, fathering a son who would bring the Torah to Klal Yisrael. What the pasuk says that Maimon Har Sinai Elokim Yanenu B'Kol, that God responds to Moshe Rabbeinu B'Kol with a great loud voice. And this all begins with the pasuk Vayikach Es Bas Levi, and Bas again according to the Zohar means a Bas Kol, that he, you know, that he, Amram, heard a baskol min hashamayim, and therefore Vayelech means he went to this high madrega of bringing about the birth of the child who would be the Redeemer of Israel. And Yocheved realized this as soon as the child was born. Vatero so kitovu, tov lakol tamuru, kitov Hashem. This is the Shechina that was Sharon Moshe Rabbeinu. And it's interesting that the Zohar repeats itself. Later on, if you remember, when Moshe Rabbeinu runs away from Mitzrayim as a fugitive and he gets to Midjan and so forth, so Vaynagas Hatzon Achra Midbar Rabbi Yossi Omer Moshe Miyom Shenolad Lo Zazo Mimenu Ruach HaKodesh. For the day he was born, Ruach HaKodesh was a permanent accompaniment. And in the parasha, in Bishalach of the Shira Sayam, Oz Yashir Moshe Rav Yehuda, Pasach B'terem, Etzarcha B'beten Yedaticha. Even before you were a fetus in your mother's womb, Yedaticha, I was intimately close to you. And now we're on the top of the left column. Other statements here, the Zohar, in Numbers 16 and 17, I don't know if we'll be able to go through this because you have to really break your teeth a little bit on the Aramaic. I wish I had the Hebrew translation, which I left in Harnof. But basically, the Zohar says the following, that in rare occasions, in Tanakh, you will see a name repeated twice contiguously, one after the other. It'll say Avram, Avram. It'll say Yaakov, Yaakov. It'll say Shmuel, Shmuel. But in all these cases, there's always going to be a psik. You know, we have something called Taimi Amikra. So you'll have one part of the pasuk, then you'll have an Asmachta, and then the second part of the pasuk. So the name of Avram will appear before the psik and again after the psik. And the same thing in the case of Yaakov and Shmuel. There's only one name in the Torah which appears twice, Bazech or Zeh, without any psik in between it. And that's Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe, Moshe. When at the snare. What? Yeah, I think it's Paragimel. You'll see that Hashem calls out to Moshe, Moshe. And there's no psik timer between the two. There's no asnachta between the first Moshe and the second Moshe. Now, what's the point of this? He says that whenever the Torah repeats the same name twice, it refers to the greatness of a person, but to the ascension of a person. That he goes from a state of being imperfect up to the state of perfecting himself. And that's the Hefsek. You know, there's Avram before he reaches the belief in God, and there's Avram afterwards. There's Yaakov Avinu during the time of Mechiras Yosef, when Yaakov Avinu is in a state of depression, if you will. I don't know what term to use, but there's no Shechina. Then there's Yaakov when he finds out that Yosef is still alive. In the case of Moshe Rabbeinu, says the Zohar, there's no psik, there's no hefsek between the first Moshe and the second Moshe, because it's not a process of ascension. It's not that Moshe Rabbeinu starts imperfect and then becomes perfect. But rather, and I'm quoting the Zohar here on Reish Lamed Beis, he says, the miyomet is yalid, from the moment that Moshe is born, shalom havi, he's already perfect. Tichsiv atera oso kitov hu. And interesting, Vayar Malach Hashem Elov, also in the Snen, Perek Gimel. Do you have that pasuk by any chance? Unfortunately, it doesn't tell you where the psukim are, but I think it should be in Perek Gimel. It says, Vayar Malach Hashem Elov belabas eish. Do we have such a pasuk?
Where is that?
I don't know.
Yes. It's Perek Gimel, pasuk bet. Vayar Malach Hashem Elov belabas eish.
Okay, that's all we need. So it's Perikimel Pasuk Beis, right?
That's right.
So it means that Moshe Rabbeinu perceives the Malach Hashem. So the Zohar asks the question, V'itema, maybe you'll ask or argue, Yosir hu shvacha de Avram. Maybe you'll say that the shvach of Avram, the praise that the Torah gives to Avram, is even greater, supersedes that of Moshe, don't sibbe Malach. At the beginning of Parashas Vayera, it says that God appeared. See if we can find that question. And there's no Malach here. So you'll say that Avram Avinu was greater than Moshe Rabbeinu, correct? You have such a problem.
Vayera Elav Hashem Be'elonei Mamre.
Oh. Very beautiful. Vayera Elav Hashem Be'elonei Mamre. Okay? He says...
This is
after the third day of Mila.
Mila, right.
Now he says if you look carefully in the psukim that appear earlier, it's always a different name of God. this is the first time that in Avraham Avinu it says Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is the holiest name of God. And he says it's only after the Mila that Avraham Avinu reaches that level that it's Vayera Lov Hashem. Mm-hmm. But in the case of Moshe Rabbeinu, where it says Moshe Moshe Lo Psik Taima, that means Moshe was great from the time of his birth, he didn't go through this two stages.
He was wrong already. He was
correct. It's all the Shitasa that the Chazal say he was already Mol. So it means that Moshe reaches this Darga Ilah from his birth. Then the Kliel Tiferes quotes a Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar that also seems to indicate that Moshe Rabbeinu was great from his birth. Then he goes on and he quotes another Zohar. So let's take a look at number 21 because we're running close to the end here. He says, Rabbi Ratzel Umashikosav, the Zohar quotes Rav Shimon Bar Yochai as saying that, you know, I knew about the light that shone from my head. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't even know about the light that shone from his head. So people quote this Zohar to show that Rav Shimon Bar Yochai reached the level that supersedes that of Moshe. Moshe was unaware, it says, when he, there was beams of he radiated that he was unaware of it. Comes along the Kliel Tiferes and he says just the opposite is true. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai is saying about himself that he didn't reach the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. Why? Moshe Rabbeinu had already reached such a tremendous level that he didn't even feel the extra light when the light shone from his face. And that's based on a principle called Shraga Batira Maimahani, that, you know, a candle in sunlight doesn't add anything to the sun. So Moshe Rabbeinu Shezocha Tekef Kishen Nolad, from the time that he was born, this is on the bottom of page 3, Shenismali Kolabayis Ora, therefore Bevadai B'shas Matan Torah, when he got a Tosefes or a Gadol, because you remember after Matan Torah he was radiating this light, he says he didn't even sense, he wasn't even aware of the fact that there was a light that shone from him. And here we're on page 4. He says the Tosefes or was so insignificant, so to speak. Now Moshe Rabbeinu, when he received the first set of Luchos, he and the people, the Chachomim around him, reached a tremendously high level. Not so after the second Luchos, because in between was the Chet HaEgel. So Rav Shimon Bar Yochai is saying about himself that he didn't even reach the level of the R of the light of the Chachmei Ador after the second set of Luchos, which is even a lower level of R. And Kol Shekein, how much more so that he didn't perceive that level, he didn't achieve that level of R of the first set of Luchos. Mevur kavanoso shezoch lahasig yosef imashehisig stambarnash migdolei midbar. He's saying he was able to reach a level which supersedes the regular rank and file person at the time of the midbar. Lo zoch lahasig kmoshehisigu gdolei ador kishalola berishona. He didn't reach the level that was achieved by the greatest of that generation of Moshe Rabbeinu after the first set of luchos. V'kolshken, how much more so? Shelo Zocha, there's a printing area, it should say Shelo Zocha Lahasogas Moshe Rabbeinu Olavashom Atzmo. And for sure he never reached the level of Moshe Rabbeinu himself. For Moshe Rabbeinu was so unaware of the Tosefes Or because he was born as Habayis Nismali Kulo Ora. So Rabbeinu, we'll stop here. And just to summarize, this is a very interesting piece of historical controversy and debate about Moshe Rabbeinu. And those who claim that Moshe Rabbeinu was Chas V'Shalom full of Midos Ros when he was born, they're going to have to contend with all these sources that indicate that Moshe Rabbeinu was great and the Ruach HaKodesh was Shorla from the time he was born until his day of death. Okay then?
Correct.
Okay, we'll stop here.